I woke up as the villainess in a novel. The plot demanded I be consumed by jealousy for the male lead's one true love, that I'd act out crazily and destructively until I was finally shipped off to a psychiatric hospital. I looked at the stunningly beautiful face in the mirror. Then I looked down at the unlimited black card in my hand, and then at the walk-in closet overflowing with Hermes bags. I had to laugh. An asylum? Whoever wants to go can have my spot. I was done. I was checking out. I was going to take the male lead's money and live my own goddamn life. Liam Scott's hand was clamped around my neck. Hard. I couldn't breathe. He had just come from a funeral. He carried the cloying scent of lilies and damp earth, a scent that mingled strangely with his usual cold, crisp cedarwood cologne. The combination was bizarre. Vivian, he said, his voice low and deep, banked with fire. You'd better pray that Lily is okay. If I ever see you imitate a single one of her expressions, a single one of her movements again. His fingers tightened. I'll make you wish you were dead. My neck throbbed with pain. A tear escaped from the corner of my eye, an involuntary physiological response. Liam's gaze, fixed on that single tear, turned even colder. I knew what he was thinking. In the novel, the villainess, Vivian King, loved nothing more than to imitate Liam's one true love, Lily White. When Lily cried, she looked exactly like this, pitiful, fragile, like a delicate white blossom. The me from before had spent 3 months practicing how to cry just like that in front of a mirror. So now, this perfectly timed tear? Liam was convinced I was putting on another show. He flung my hand away. I stumbled, catching myself on the cold, hard surface of the vanity to keep from falling. My throat was on fire. Cough, cough, cough. I clutched my neck, hacking until my lungs ached. Liam looked down at me, his eyes filled with the kind of revulsion you'd reserve for a piece of trash. Remember my words, he said, yanking at his tie before turning to leave. Stay away from Lily. If she doesn't wake up today, you'll be buried with her. Slam. The bedroom door shuddered in its frame. I leaned on the vanity, gasping for air. The woman in the mirror was a wreck. Her face was flushed, tears clung to her lashes, and her hair was a mess. But damn, she was beautiful. Vivian's face was a masterpiece. More vibrant, more aggressively stunning than Lily's innocent, girl-next-door purity. Too bad the novel's male lead, Liam Scott, only had eyes for Lily's type. He found Vivian's beauty garish and conniving. That's why no matter how she mimicked Lily, how she tried to please Liam, how she schemed to break them up, she was destined to lose her family, her fortune, and her sanity, ending her days in an asylum. Tragic. I touched the red marks on my neck. The stinging pain was a sharp reminder. This wasn't a dream. I had really been transported into a book. I was the villainess with the miserable ending. Liam's threat still echoed in my ears. If she doesn't wake up today, you'll be buried with her. I remembered. This was a key plot point. After Lily returned to the country, Vivian had arranged a minor car accident. Lily was physically unharmed but had fainted from the shock. Liam, convinced Vivian was behind it, had come to confront her. Then, the original Vivian had cried and screamed, swearing her innocence while trying to throw herself at him, using her body to win him back. The result, of course, was like pouring gasoline on a fire. Liam's disgust had only deepened, laying the groundwork for him to eventually commit her. I looked down at myself. I was wearing a silk slip of a nightgown, thin and translucent. Clearly, it was the original owner's intended weapon. A shiver ran down my spine. I snatched the thick terry cloth robe from the back of a nearby chair and wrapped it tightly around myself. Buried with her? An asylum? No, no, thank you. I valued my life very much. And since I was here, as a rich, beautiful woman no less, why would I throw it all away? The male lead belonged to his true love. The money belonged to me. I walked to the massive floor-to-ceiling window. Outside, the river glittered with the lights of the city's most expensive district. Beneath my feet was a priceless, hand-woven rug. The bags and jewels in my closet could fund several lifetimes of luxury. I touched my still sore neck. My mind was made up. I was checking out. I was done playing games. I would stay far, far away from the main characters. And I would take Liam Scott's money and enjoy my life. As for Lily, I hoped she would wake up immediately, healthy and vibrant. And I hoped she and Liam would be shackled together for eternity, just as long as they left me alone. Lily woke up the next day. A false alarm. Liam didn't come looking for me again. He was probably busy with his darling. I was more than happy to be left in peace. It was time to begin my grand retirement plan. Step 1. Move out of Liam's penthouse. The place was too big, too empty, as cold and impersonal as a luxury showroom. And there was always the risk of running into him. Bad for my health. I called a real estate agent. My requirements were simple and direct. Downtown. A large, single-floor apartment. Great view. Fully furnished. Move-in ready. That afternoon, I dragged my limited edition suitcases into my new home. Over 3,000 square feet. A massive, curved window wall let the sunlight stream in, warm and unobstructed. I threw myself onto a sofa that felt like a cloud. Ah, I sighed in contentment. This was living. Step 2. Organize my assets. Vivian may have been obsessed with a man, but she was still the heiress of the King family. Her dowry was substantial, and while Liam didn't love her, the Scott family cared about appearances. The monthly allowance he deposited into her account was an astronomical figure. I checked my mobile banking app. Seeing that long string of zeros brought a wave of pure, unadulterated joy. This wasn't a villainess. This was my personal goddess of wealth. Step 3. Cut off all ties that could trigger the plot. In the book, Vivian had bribed several of Liam's assistants and drivers to spy on Lily. She'd even hired private investigators to tail and photograph her. Utterly foolish. I picked up my phone and found the contacts. I sent them each a message. Our arrangement is terminated. Final payment has been sent. Do not contact me again. Then, I blocked and deleted them all. Finally, I opened the chat with the contact named Liam. The history was pathetic. A cringe-worthy monologue of my one-sided devotion. Liam, it's getting cold today. Don't forget to wear a coat. Liam, I made soup. Should I have the driver bring it to you? Liam, your stomach is sensitive. Don't drink too much. Liam, I. Liam's replies were either a curt K, no, or, most often, nothing at all. The last message was from yesterday. Liam, I know I was wrong. Please come home. I miss you so much. A wave of secondhand embarrassment washed over me. My fingers flew across the screen. Liam, we need to talk. I paused, then deleted it, and retyped. Mr. Scott, regarding yesterday's incident, I feel it's necessary to clarify that I had nothing to do with Ms. White's car accident. Furthermore, I have moved out of the penthouse. Please refrain from contacting me unless absolutely necessary. I wish you well. I checked it over. Perfect, calm, distant, and clear. I hit send. Then, I changed his contact name from Liam to the ATM, and set his messages to silent. The world was finally quiet. With all that done, I ordered a ridiculously extravagant giant seafood platter for delivery, paired it with an ice-cold Coke, and curled up on the sofa to watch a mindless, slapstick comedy show. I ate and watched, laughing until my sides hurt. This was the right way to live in a novel. The days passed, and I completely let myself go. The old Vivian, trying to cater to Liam's tastes, had only worn muted colors and conservative, Leda-like dresses. She spoke softly, ate in tiny, delicate bites, and walked as if she were afraid of stepping on an ant. And now, I wore baggy t-shirts with giant cartoon pigs on them, ripped jeans, flip-flops. My face was bare, but still stunning enough to turn heads. I haunted hole-in-the-wall eateries, trendy food stalls, and bustling night markets. 10 skewers of grilled squid in my left hand, a large bubble tea with extra pearls in my right, grease shining on my lips. Life was good. The old Vivian, trying to emulate Lily's artistic temperament, had forced herself to attend stuffy classical concerts and pretentious art exhibitions. And now, I lay in my private home theater, the AC blasting, with a mountain of popcorn, catching up on all the trashy dramas and blockbuster action movies I'd never had time for. I cried my eyes out. I laughed until I pounded the sofa. The old Vivian, trying to maintain her image as Mrs. Scott, was always on guard. She attended mind-numbingly boring high society afternoon teas, listening to the other women subtly and not so subtly brag and compare, all while fending off their attempts to pry into her sham of a marriage. And now, I'd left all the so-called socialite group chats. I didn't answer their calls. I threw all their invitations in the trash. I was busy. Busy dominating in online games. Busy catching up on new manga releases. Busy researching which new Sichuan restaurant was spicy enough. As for Liam? Oh, the ATM. Ever since I sent that let's leave each other alone message, it had been radio silence from his end. Not even a K. He probably thought I was playing some new game, trying to get his attention by pushing him away. He couldn't be bothered. Fine by me. His silence was a blessing. We were like two parallel lines. He was in his world, playing out his angsty, epic romance with Lily, according to the book. I was in mine, enjoying my freedom and decadent lifestyle. Until,